I am at the European Society for Medical Oncology annual meeting here in Berlin with Awe Song from Guangzhou. Awe, you have just been giving a very, very fascinating talk about an ADC. Tell me about your drug, trastuzumab rezetecan.
The payload is a kind of TROP2. It's a topo isomerase inhibitor.
You've been using it in the context of HER2-positive advanced or metastatic breast cancer.
Yeah.
This is an open-label but phase 3 study.
Yes.
Can you tell me, what's the background to this? Why were you using it in that context?
Yeah, ADC drugs treating HER2 is actually one of the standard of care nowadays. And T-DXd has already been approved in first-line advanced treatment for breast cancer. And herein, we are doing a second-line and above treatment for advanced breast cancer. And actually, our drug is a little different from T-DXd because rezetecan, the payload, it's more effective, but less toxic.
So can you tell me what you did in this study?
So we randomized the patients into rezetecan, trastuzumab rezetecan, with perovskite and capecitabine. And we found that actually in the treatment arm, the patient, PFS separate very early. And we have median PFS of over 30 months in the treatment arm, and versus only 8.7 months in the control arm.
Right. Now, that's quite remarkable, it seems, on the face value. What do you make of this separation, of this difference between the progression-free survival and your control arm?
Yeah, the data are still immature because we are only doing an interim analysis, and we enroll patients ever since 2022. So now it's, follow-up period is only 15.9 months for the treatment arm. So we got to wait longer to see whether this PFS can further extend. But we already had a p-value by analyzing the Kaplan-Meier curve, suggesting that the ADC is much better than small molecule TKI plus capecitabine.
Now, your control arm is using a pirtobrutinib, a tyrosine kinase inhibitor, together with capecitabine.
Yeah.
Why the choice of that control arm?
Yeah, because pirtobrutinib, it's a standard of care in China for second-line advanced breast cancer as well as first-line, that kind of combination. And pirtobrutinib had PFS of 12.9 months in a previous clinical trial, FABI, to compare with lapatinib plus capecitabine. So pirtobrutinib replaced lapatinib in China as standard of care for first-line and second-line HER2-positive advanced breast cancer.
Importantly, what about toxicities? Because there are things like interstitial lung disease to think about. Can you tell me what data you have on toxicity?
Yeah, the toxicity, we had a very low rate. It's in the treatment arm, only 2.8%. There's four cases with ILD. And three are just mild ILD, like grade 1 and grade 2. And only one case is grade 3 ILD.
Ooh.
And it's very low. It's actually to the trastuzumab ADC drugs.
Now, T-DXd has quite a track record that's, in fact, quite growing at the moment.
Yeah.
Your data are slightly different because it's not a controlled study, and it's early too.
Mm-hmm.
But how are your figures on progression-free survival comparing with T-DXd, and how might clinicians balance these two ADCs in their thoughts about treating a particular patient?
Yeah, for the mature data, we can say that maybe our ADC is comparable in efficacy with T-DXd, but had a toxic profile, it's less occurrence or incidence of ILD to overcome this kind of toxicity.
There was a question raised here at the meeting. Why didn't you compare your agent with T-DXd directly?
When we launched the study, at that time, T-DXd was not standard of care for first-line or second-line breast cancer. That's 2022. That was 2022.
So how do you assess then the impact, the importance clinically, the clinical implications of this Horizon Breast 01 study that you've announced here at ESMO in Berlin?
Yeah, I would say trastuzumab resectican may not replace T-DXd, but it could be an alternative choice. That's to say, patients who do not tolerate T-DXd might switch to choose trastuzumab resectican.
So how should doctors be talking potentially with their patients about these choices of a particular ADC?
Yeah, I hope that we should study the mechanism of ILD, and we should have biomarkers to predict whether the patient is going to have ILD in the future. So if a patient is with high risk to develop ILD by using T-DXd, then we will switch to trastuzumab resectican.
Could you then briefly summarize what you've done and what you've found and what this means for doctors today?
Okay, so we employ trastuzumab resectican, which is an alternative ADC similar to the mechanism of T-DXd. In a clinical trial, a phase 3 clinical trial, when we saw some preliminary data showing that it's effective and also it's less toxic, especially in ILD. So to tell the doctors, they might have another choice to use this kind of ADC drug for prostate breast cancer patients.
So you now regard this as an alternative to T-DXd?
It could be another choice. So I don't think it could replace. I don't know yet. Because, for example, in AI, aromatase inhibitor, they have 3 different aromatase inhibitors before, and they are very good. They are all very good. And they are alternative choice for medical doctors.
Elsewhere at this meeting, there have been talks about whether we have too many options. For instance, should it be one ADC or another, or can we sequence them? How are we going to use these new emerging compounds?
Yeah, that's, I think, precision sequencing of the patient to determine which kind of anti-HER2 therapy should be used is one of the future directions.
Awei Song from Guangzhou, China, thank you very much indeed. We've been talking here at the European Society for Medical Oncology in Berlin. For the Audio Journal of Oncology, I'm Peter Goodwin.